Hey, look at
And we are heckin' live. What is good? What is good? What is good to the second ever live stream? Actually, no, not the second ever live stream on this channel, but of the current generation, of the current generation of this podcast. 'Cause we used to be a different thing, and then we stopped being that thing. So now we're this thing.
I
So
just erased that playlist.
I just scratched that from any memory possibly of having that. But yeah, we are vibing out over here, testing out a new app. We are checking out StreamYard. That's why we haven't fucking actually paid for it yet. So that's why we have the dickhead logo still up in the corner. We have money to pay for things. Not a lot, but we do have money to pay for things. So we are in the we're still in the dickhead phase, but StreamYard seems pretty cool. But either way, this is Drag the Lake. Welcome to the second annual live stream of Drag the Lake. Once again, if you're watching this on the panties page or if you're listening to the audio of this, we're gonna be streaming all the podcasts from now on over here on the YouTube channel. So link for it down below. Drag the Lake YouTube channel. Lots of cool stuff over there. Reaction videos for myself, and then a few where we're doing them together. And then you look for clips and extra conversations. Pat, really important question. How the heck are you, bud?
Oh, Andy, I'm doing wonderful. I'm excited about a week of fireworks ahead of my scaring the shit out of my cats.
Oh yeah, are your cats are not good with the fucking fireworks?
they're not terrible with it, but it's just like it kind of ruins a good cuddle, and I don't like that. I like to have a
Oh.
nice snug, you know what I mean, at the end of the day, and like that's gonna be claws in my thighs all week.
Oh
So
yeah, you're definitely gonna be you're gonna be more therapist than fucking cat dad this weekend.
yeah, I'm gonna be basically emotional support human, you know what I mean? But hey, who adopted who, right? Who rescued who, right, Andy?
You did. You
I
did. You do all the goddamn work. They lay around and you pick up the shit. You fucking did. Don't
No, I
do
forgot.
this fucking eat, pray, love fucking cheese board over top of your kitchen bullshit.
Dom pointed out my Dom, you know my wife.
Your
She
wife.
pointed out a wonderful fact that as far as when it comes to people, I don't give a fuck. I'm not a people person. I'm not a people pleaser. But I am very much a cat pleaser. I
Yeah.
will do
Like when you go
anything.
to a party and you see a cat, like
That's my focus.
you're really like, I gotta win that cat's affection. I feel that. I'm kind of like that with dogs. Like if there's a dog at a party and that dog is not vibing with me, I failed. I don't know what, but I failed something.
There's a dog that there's one of the vet's offices that I visit that is this, there's this big gray dog that always like comes up and like he kind of fucking like he negs me, dude. Like he doesn't, and like I'm not a dog person. I just prefer cats, but I love dogs as well. And I need that. You're absolutely right. Because, dude, I went to Costco and I got freeze-dried liver treats because he has a sensitive stomach. And those are the only treats that he can have, are like good, like quality treats. And
Yeah.
I bought his affection. He let me pet him this afternoon. It's a good day, dude. Let's fucking go.
Yeah, you need that positive association with some dogs sometimes.
It was kind of cool
Well, you
because,
really went and bought him liver treats?
yeah. At Costco,
Wow.
like I said, Costco, like not just like, and my cats don't eat that shit. They eat the garbage treats, dude. They'll eat fucking anything. They'll eat anything I eat, essentially.
Damn, you were fucking starving for the. You were dying for this dog's acceptance.
Yeah, and I got it, and it was really cool because there was another dog there that was like a little like, new and shit like that. But like me and him were cool, and then the other dog comes up, and then like we weren't cool with them. So like it felt kind of like now I'm in the pack, dude.
Now you're fucking. You're on all
Running.
fours eating liver treats with him.
Yeah, dude, it was so funny because like he kind of like it was kind of miming. Like I was giving him like just little treats, and he kind of started miming with like when the other dog mentioned he was going like this. Like he was like, dude,
Like he was mocking the dog.
dog's not paying attention. Give me another one.
Dickhead's not looking. Give me another fucking treat.
Yeah, it was cool. Like, so we bonded today, but it was definitely purchased affection. I bought his affection.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Shins. But yeah, how
What?
about you, man? I said shamelessly. How about you, buddy? How you been?
I've been pretty fucking good lately, to be perfectly honest. I've been doing a lot of you know me. I like a good ponder.
That's true. You do ponder.
I love a good ponder. I've been pondering hard, definitely providing some fucking clarity into my life. Just living easy, living straight, just having a good fucking time. So, Pat, I was thinking, since I keep fucking forgetting, because you know me, I'm always on this fucking grind, dude. I have a problem with always being on the grind. I forget when fucking holidays fucking pop up. You said you weren't gonna do much for the 4th of July, right? Just protecting your cats from big loud noises.
Well, actually, the day, the 4th of July, the holiday itself, I'm actually performing at a barbecue.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah, I was kind of, it was one of those things where like I've actually possibly, because it could be rain that day, so I might ruin the show and my whole day. So I might just be home just watching TV with the cats. But I'm basically this one is going to be like a hang. I might even do it like, I might even get a little bit lit, dude. I might drink a couple beers.
Pat, what? Sorry. This just randomly popped into my head. Okay. I have such good news for you.
Oh, good.
Oh my God. This is breaking news. Breaking news. So do you remember the show, The Bear?
Yeah.
You remember what PO'd you about that?
Yes. I am so glad you brought this up.
I think you might be excited about what I'm excited about. Yes. Don't get ahead of yourself, but yep. You remember to catch the people up. You remember what PO'd you about the bear? Let them know.
They didn't give me the payoff. They gave me the build up. There's a song called New Noise by not only one of my, but probably top three favorite bands of all time. Maybe definitely top five. Refused has a band or a song I think everybody knows. It's been in movies.
You know the song. Can I scream?
Right. And that's the part that everybody knows. And then woo.
The big problem with season one of The Bear is they bring out the song and they give you it's one of my favorite shows ever. And it's the first show in recent memory that I've watched a season twice. I don't do that ever. Really? I never watch a movie more than once. I never watch a TV show more than once. Like, I'm always trying to check out as much shit as humanly possible. So I don't rewatch a lot of shit, but I just fell in love with The Bear, and it's a fucking next to perfect show. And I say next to perfect because when you hear that fucking song, when it gets to the part that we all want to fucking hear, can I scream? They don't fucking give it to you. And you're just sitting there you're like, God damn it. It is like epic blue balls because they don't give you that part of the song. And I believe right at that part of the show, he's making like a dope Italian beef sandwich. And like, I love watching food videos, but especially when they're making something that you're just sitting there like, I could really fucking eat that. And you're like, oh, I can't because it's fucking... it's like 11 p.m. right here, and I can't just go find an Italian beef sandwich in the middle of Jersey at this time of night.
And it's not going to taste like that looks. It's never going to taste like the way it looks on that show.
Well, there is, to get specific about that show, I was looking up. It was really funny. I went on the New Jersey subreddit, and I posted on there, and I go, yo, does anyone know? I was like, I'm like obsessed with The Bear right now. Does anyone know a good spot in Jersey that can give authentic or close to authentic Italian beef sandwiches? And dude, I'm not shitting you. The first comment I get, they go, yeah, you probably want to fly to Chicago for that. And I go, did you fucking read? I'm like, this is crazy. It's an insane comment to put out. Like, dude, that stuff is going to streamline me into going psychotic because you give them everything. You give them everything to succeed. Hey, I live in Jersey. I'm clearly not going to go to Chicago for a sandwich. You know, maybe if I'm on business or I'm on vacation, I'll make it over there. But just making it real clear to you guys, I'm in Jersey. Where should I go? Jersey subreddit. Clearly a place for questions about New Jersey. first comment, go to Chicago. It's just like, what the fuck are we doing? But anyway, there is actually a spot in Jersey that part of their menu specializes in like authentic Chicago type food, which isn't like a super long list. It's basically hot dogs and Italian beef and like not deep dish pizza. I don't think anyone gives a shit about that outside of Chicago. But anyway, wait, I'm getting super fucking sidetracked. So the big thing, this is what I wanted to tell you about season two, dude. Have you watched season two yet?
I'm so glad that you brought this up because you can say it if you want, but I think we're going to say the exact same thing.
They give it to you.
Did
you hear what I did, by the way? What? I was about to go, they say the, and then you start going, they give it to you. I was like, they give it to you. I was like, oh, that's what we're saying? They give it to you. I want to be like you.
Yeah. But yeah, they finally fucking give you that payoff. They answer young Dennis himself. Can he scream?
Oh yeah,
he can, and he does. And they do it. They play the song. Then everybody's like, "Oh, that's the song." Yeah, I know that song because I that had to have been a choice. And also, it makes me feel like the director had to have been a Refuse fan, and like or a music fan in general, whatever, punk fan, hardcore fan. So I think we should reach out to them and try to get them on the show.
We should.
And go, hey, man, what's going on? And you go, oh, like, because I think, honestly, we are probably the two other people besides Refused that recognized that they don't give you the payoff of that song. And then in season two, they like, it's weird that a fucking song in the soundtrack of the show is a character. And you get an arc, like you're getting an arc to one of the songs from the soundtrack from the show because it's finally giving you the payoff. And you're
that was intentional.
It had to have been, dude. Somebody in the editing process or straight up the director had that note and said like, yeah, cut it off. I don't know how involved it is.
I could see that the bear. Like the way that they're doing it, where not to go into like a whole conversation about the fucking show, but season one is like working on the restaurant, or season two is trying to get the restaurant to work. Big thing happens at the end. I'm not going to ruin for you because it's a great show. Season two, the restaurant shut down, they're remodeling it. I haven't finished it. I'm hoping they open. I want to see some service happen. And then I'm assuming season three, like just the way it's progressing, it feels super planned out. It's not just like some shows are, here's a bunch of shit. Like, it feels like there's one long story from season to season, not just, like, do you remember, you ever watch The Walking Dead?
Yeah.
The Walking Dead would always be like, we got to find a good place to stay. And then the next season would be like, we found this place to stay. Now we got to protect it. And then the next season would be like, we got kicked out of our place to stay. Let's regroup.
Safe anymore. We got to find a safe place.
And it would just be that over. And you could tell the way that they wrote the show. You're like, you guys are just fucking zipping and zapping from fucking episode to episode. But if you watch The Bear, it really looks like they fucking planned it out from day one how to do this. So that long roundabout fucking breakdown gets me to the fact that I could see that finally giving you the can I scream could be a very intentional moment, because it's such a quintessential part of that song. To just not include it like that just seems crazy. Like, it seems super intentional, you know what I mean?
They have like, so it's weird because that's like, that's what everybody's favorite part of the song is. Like, that's what everybody likes, that part, and everybody likes the woo. And that's the like, I don't think a lot of other people, and this is a weird thing that you know me, like, I'm not a huge lyric guy usually. I don't give a fuck about the lyrics for most songs. And it's to me music is the fucking one of the arts that I actually get. I get it. So it actually, I go with my feeling of it, and I kind of trust that and stuff like that. But I do tend to, like, I love Keith Buckley's work. I like Fat Mike's work, stuff like that. So Refused being another one of my favorite bands, I not only love their lyrics, but I also have them tattooed on my fucking chest. I have the lyrics to this song tattooed on my chest.
Really? And
yeah, because I love so many lines from this song.
Yeah.
That it's like frames won't save bad paintings is one of those like things that I'm like, yeah, dude, doesn't matter how you fucking wrap it up. If it's shitty art, it's going to suck. And it sucks. And that's, to me, not only were they ahead of their time, like musically, like actually playing the music they are, but with the message and actual, like where they saw literally with the shape of punk to come. I think we talked about this on that, that show that we won't talk about. And I think that's really what it is. They actually knew what the shape of punk was, and they really were like, it was like they were already jaded.
Well, that's the problem with
sucks. I don't want to get successful because even if I do, it's going to be like this bullshit.
That's the problem when you get, I'm trying to think of an example of that, but that is a problem when you get someone who's like so ahead of their time and they kind of like, they kind of see, what's the expression? They see the forest.
They see the forest through the trees. They can't see the forest through the trees.
Yeah, but they basically, I'm trying to remember the fucking thing. I'm trying to remember, but it's like they see the bigger picture of stuff. And there's certain people who can zoom out. They can zoom out extra far and see a way bigger picture that other people can't see. And then they will do, what's up, compliant art? Shout out in the chat. Yeah, chat it the fuck up in there. But yeah, what am I trying to say? Yeah, they can basically see some shit that no one else can see. And I got to imagine that's actually kind of like beyond frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, it's like they're already jaded. Like they're pre-jaded. Refused are literally the band that were like, when they were probably recording that album, they're putting all this effort in and they're like, nobody's gonna give a fuck or respect this or actually listen to what we're fucking saying. Or I think they were so, it was so fucking weird. And this is just my assumption from, I mean, I have watched documentaries about it. I have watched, like, again, we've gone over a million times. I love Refuse so much that was a band that I read the lyrics. I did research, and when I started to listen to them, they were already broken up, and they, as far as I could tell, were never going to get back together. So the fact that even that happened is kind of so surreal, and also self-fulfilling. They kind of, if I'm going to be so brash to make this assumption, Andy, they kind of became what they were like talking about. They kind of became like this. I don't know.
Like, I feel a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah. When they came back, I think there was a real thing that they were trying. Like, there was like, we got a message to tell. And
Can I ask you this? What did they, cause I'm obviously not as familiar with Refused as you are. I only have them tattooed on my legs, not my chest. And, no, dude, I'm that's not a joke. I have this tattooed on my leg. I am also a dork. Nah, it's probably a sick tattoo.
I don't feel at all. That's the one tattoo that I have no problem ever explaining. And it doesn't matter how lame I feel by like getting a, because most of my jokes, most of my tattoos are just jokes, and most of the tattoos I plan on ever getting.
Oh, yeah, Nate brought that up on Panties the other day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he said, he had the funniest line because he's like, your one tat, the monkey pointing. It almost, not that it's not a sick tattoo, but it almost was like way sicker. And then Family Guy came back and then just had 97, like,
yeah.
Don't get me wrong, Family Guy fucking hit for a while. Great.
Yeah, it's still a great show, but it's also like it's the timing of it. And he brought it up in the show also, like, at first he was like I really judged him for it, but then once he told me, like, I got it when it was done. It wasn't even on Adult Swim. It was done. It dates me, but I don't give a shit because I'm also like, if anybody ever asks if I ever regret a tattoo, it is that one, just because of every single drive-through interaction I have is like, oh, is that the guy? Oh, is that? And it's always, is that? Like, yes, you, if you recognize, yes, it is. Of course
it is. To be fair, so you've heard it. I only have three tattoos, so I have good tattoo composure because I don't get as many questions. Because I do like, my viewpoint on tattoos are this is their first time seeing it. I got the tattoo. I have to eat this every time. Yeah. But wait, where was I going with that? But it is, to be fair though, it is a sick tattoo. Like, it's a unique Family Guy one, like the monkey pointing.
Yeah. It's his origin story. It's like one of those things that, like, even for a reference for a show that was canceled, it is still kind of a one episode reference. It is his origin story when he becomes the evil monkey. He comes home and finds his wife in bed with another man.
Oh, yeah. Wait, show me again. Yeah, because he's wearing, it's not just like, yeah, it's like a deep, deep cut on a deep cut.
Oh, oh, sorry. So I have no tattoos. If you want, I will let one of you guys give me a tattoo on the podcast. I almost got tattooed by Fletcher. I told you that, right?
Yeah, from Pennywise.
Yeah, yeah. I do regret that.
And you were a child, right?
I was still a young man. Yes, I was well under drinking age, maybe under 18.
And it was, he finished making love to you and he was like, would you like a tattoo or get thrown up on?
It was during. It was, he said, no. He actually threw up when he said it. He was like, he's like, I get a tattoo.
I remember I got a, wait, what was the Pennywise album I got back in the day?
I have a Pennywise tattoo though.
Do you?
Yeah, yeah.
Did I tell you my favorite tattoo of yours?
No.
I think it's the one with the rat, and it just says rats off to you. And it's like kind of upside down. Like when you're just standing, it's kind of upside down.
Yeah. Whatever. I have to show somebody, like, yeah, if I have my arms to my side, it looks like, people are like, what the fuck? It not only, like, when I turn it upside down, that's one of those tattoos where you see it upside down, and you're like, what the fuck? And then you see it right side up and you're like, what the fuck?
And you're like looking at it and it's like, when you put your arm up like this, it looks normal, but you're like, I don't know if it's upside down or not.
Yeah.
No, yeah, that's right. The one Pennywise album I ever got, From the Ashes. I remember that was actually a big album for me because I was like, this is really fast. Because I had been listening to a lot of punk up until that point, but I'd never... Or not a shitload, because this came out... When did this come out? I have it up right here. Oh, 03. So, yeah, actually, not a shitload. So, this was definitely my... That was, like, my first intro to super fucking fast music.
You know what's funny? Is by 2003, like, what was the name of it again?
From the Ashes.
From the Ashes. Is that the one that has Fuck Authority?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, well, that was, I was going to say, because I think that's the one, like, by that time, I wasn't listening. They may have even had a different singer at that point.
They haven't always had the same singer?
Well, they always had, yeah, see, I think I got this album for free from a friend of mine that worked at a record store, and I was like, not a fan. Like, and no. I remember thinking, like, I think that was officially when I tapped out of Pennywise. I liked some of the songs on it, but I think that was when I had the original thought, like, that I've shared with you again a couple times, of like, guys, like, you know, if we got to start today, can we just, because I had been listening since like the 98-99 era, Straight Ahead, that album, when I saw them live, that was their most recent album, and it fucking rips, dude. That Straight Ahead is a perfect fucking album. It is awesome, as in my opinion. Again, I was new to.
Which one usually was that?
That was, I think, 99.
Oh yeah, that is. You know what? So I haven't like listened to that one like that. But that is the most. You know how, like, when people talk about Rancid, they bring up and Out Come the Wolves. Like, yeah. If you're talking, yeah, it's this album cover. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, it's like that's Pennywise. When you think, yeah. besides just the logo, and I will say too, Unknown Road, I think, is a pretty popular album of theirs.
Before that is pretty good, like in my opinion. Anything before that is pretty popular, and kind of not each one of them being essential, but each one of them has like fucking hits as far as Pennywise goes. So
let me ask you this about Pennywise. We always joke about Bad Religion. They're one of the best bands ever, but they basically wrote about five songs their whole career. Is Pennywise like that? Because that is a problem with when your songs are very fast, and it's not just fast bands that get this problem. Like I've talked about it before with like hardcore bands and stuff that are breakdown heavy, because a lot of breakdowns, for people who don't know, are what's called open chords. So and every song is going to have, you know, a couple breakdowns. So every song is going to have a very similar sound to it. And that same problem can arise with very fast punk songs because, you know, you can only do so much when you're going, you can only, when the drums are going that quick, you can only do so much. And then on top of that, punk notoriously it's a notoriously under practiced genre, or however I would say that, like the people performing the music notoriously do not practice enough, so they're gonna be limited in what they can play at that speed. So a lot of these bands that play faster, you run the risk of the songs really getting repetitive. Is Pennywise a band like that?
So in my honest, and this is like, you heard me. There is a line for me for a lot of the bands that I loved growing up, or even like found like in my later teens or anything like that. Like early on, I'm willing to give you something like, but legitimately, I feel like there was whatever the fuck Authority album was. I feel like that's when this started to waver for me. Whenever that was, I think anything before that, and this is a formula that we brought up before, but anything before that, Pennywise was just writing good songs. And I don't think that there was a lot of repetition. But after that album, after this album,
Land of the Free,
they started to try to write Pennywise songs.
That's like a problem you can run into. I'm really glad you said that, because bands, weren't we talking about that? Yeah. Like that. Remember when we reviewed, I think they've put out another album since we reviewed it. But if you go months back, we reviewed a Slipknot album, and I made the joke.
That was the band we talked about.
I made the joke. I go, this album sounds like, this album sounds like they went into an AI album generator and were like, give us a Slipknot album.
Yeah. And not that it's like that, maybe not that drastic, but also around this time, they started producing other bands as well, like kind of also mentoring bands. So
Pennywise did.
Yeah. So I think around, maybe it might've been right after, I think around Land of the Free, there's a band called the Deviants. I believe it's called, and I think they only have one album. And if you listen to that album, you'll go like, damn, this is new Pennywise. It's just Pennywise. It, like they just another band playing new Pennywise songs. Yeah. Oh wow. They do have new songs, but the Deviants. Yeah. That's them. But they have, I can't remember what the first out. That's it right up there. Go up. That one. Yeah, Come With Me. That's their, like, that's, I think the, I don't know if that's the name of the album, or, but that was the single from that first album.
Oh, okay. Come With Me by the Deviants.
Yeah, I think that they, and I think, I feel like somewhere in the album art, or somewhere in the, like, somewhere on the cover or something like that, said produced by Pennywise, or like it's like they're a band that, and they just kind of, and since then they've kind of been like, maybe they were like, here's the formula, kids.
You just reminded me I really should have brought this here, because I was bitching about it to Steph, and I could see in her eyes she was like, babe. Babe, I love you with every ounce of my being. Do not give a fuck about the state, the current state of pop punk music.
I'm here for you, baby. I'm your work.
No, but wait, I'm trying. Are you familiar with the young man Kenny Hoopla?
No,
he's
a musical man.
So he has his music has the energy of like. It's like it's kind of like pop punk Block Party.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's kind of like pop punk.
Isn't Block Party kind of pop punk?
They're more. I don't know what you would call.
Weren't they at Warped Tour?
Well, there's been rappers at Warped Tour.
Not at my Warped Tour.
No, probably not. You probably went.
I think I did go one of the years that the Black Eyed Peas were there. So. That's how old I am.
Are you fucking serious?
Yeah. I was like, who the fuck are the Black Eyed? And I was like, who the fuck? I was remember going like, who the fuck is this? Like, it was kind of like, seriously, I was like, all right, pop punk. Okay, cool. We're going to do this. We're going to have some emo bands. We'll have an acoustic guy, I guess, or whatever. But they were on. I was like, why are they on a main stage? Who the fuck are these guys? It was before they were huge, for sure.
Hey, wait, real quick. I got to go. Sorry, guys. I'll re-watch later. Keep up the good work. Name some more bands for us noobs. Hell yeah. Thank you for hanging out, Compliant Art. And yeah, if you guys are watching in the future, we will be getting on a schedule. We're still testing out the live streaming and shit, so it ain't your fault if you're not getting it. I had some people being like, sorry, I missed the live stream. It's like,
We literally did not advertise it at all. We didn't
I'm just happy you're thinking about me. Literally, give me your address. I'll drive over and suck your balls. Yeah,
show us where you want to suck. Point. And we'll do it.
Whatever. Literally, whatever you want me to do. I have so many thoughts in my heads because I really badly want to go through I really badly want to go to old Warp Tour lineups.
Yeah, dude. There Jurassic 5 was at one of them.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay, so I have Warp Tour lineups up here. But anyway, so I was talking about Kenny Hoopla, and he has the, in my opinion, has the energy of like like Block Party, but like a little like very pop punk. And one of the reasons it comes off very pop punk is because him and about 90 other bands are produced by Travis Barker, and then Travis Barker plays the drums on every fucking song. So basically, and here's the thing, I love Travis Barker to death. Blink-182 is one of my favorite bands. I take a lot of how I used to play the drums from how Travis Barker played the drums. I think he's like very creative, but he has one very specific style, and it is chaotic pop punk that is up here volume wise the whole time.
Yeah.
So if he's playing the drums on every song. And now I don't blame the bands. If you're a new band and you're like a pop punk band and fucking Travis Barker hits you up and goes, I want to produce your out. You have to say yes. You'd be insane.
But I was going to ask you. So this is perfect. I was going to ask you. All right. So let's just say, Andy, the band that you were in, they like, hey man, we want to bring you into the studio. We want you guys to record an EP. We want to put a lot of money behind you. We're really
excited. Travis Barker asked me to come in,
and Travis Barker's here. You know what? Travis is going to handle, he's going to handle the drums. So Andy, why don't you go ahead and sit out?
Well, why would he do that?
Oh, like you said, he's drumming for most of these bands. Like, obviously, he's like, oh, here, just let me show you something real quick. And he's just like, and then everybody's like, thanks, Travis. That was great.
Well, most of the bands.
Would you be able to look at that band in the face again? Would you be able to look at your bandmates again and say, like,
well, no, realistically, most of the. Let me clarify. I said bands, but it's really like Machine Gun Kelly, doesn't matter. And it's like Kenny Hoopla. It doesn't matter who's in his band. There's this other dude. Singers. There's this other dude, Mod Sun. Yeah, they're kind of like, they're just like, they're offshoot generic pop. Well, not so much Kenny Hoopla. His music's actually really good. It's just, his music's really good. And then the shit that's produced by Travis Barker just sounds like a Blink, like it sounds like a self-titled Blink song with this guy Kenny Hoopla on it. But no, actually, I will say if Travis Barker was like, "We're gonna produce the album and I'm gonna play every song," I'd be like, "That's why am I here then?" When I was in the band, I was in college, so I'd be super conflicted. I did not have the energy to stand up for myself back then. I was super conflicted. But yeah, if Travis Barker wanted to play on one song, I'd actually probably shit my pants because it would really expose how not good at the drums I was compared to him.
It's a lose-lose in my opinion because I'm like, okay, I'm not on the record. Also, when we go play this live, there's no fucking chance I can play it like that. So like, what am I going to do here? I feel like that's kind of like how the guy from the Queens of the Stone Age must have felt with like the first couple albums, because Dave Grohl's like, I got it. And then like, he just did it. And then they go on tour and they have to have this other drummer. And the other drummer's like, okay. You know what I mean? Like it, cause Dave Grohl goes off on the drums. He always goes off on the drums.
But Pat, we've talked about Dave Grohl before. I'll let you in on a little secret. Any professional drummer can keep up with Dave Grohl.
You think so?
I know so.
I mean, he's got that mojo.
I love him to death. But any professional drummer that practices regularly can keep up with Dave Grohl. Okay. He's got a lot of charisma. Pat, we can do this again if you want.
Pat's Googling drummers failing at Dave Grohl covers.
What if it was an
Andy? How about these dickheads?
What if it was an extensive genre on YouTube?
Yeah, it was just like one of those things of like it's a hidden rabbit hole that everybody like actually everybody's really fucking terrible at it.
No, I remember when I realized, dude, the funniest Dave Grohl video I ever saw was right after Kurt Cobain killed himself. And he was like, it was just him crying. And I was like, pussy. No.
Your friend died.
What? Your first friend died? Oh, the most famous guy in the world that fronted your band that made you a bajillionaire died.
Yeah.
And you're not yet a well-established your name's not yet well-established, so you don't know if you're going to fucking make it. Did that guy die? I don't know what's wrong.
Pussy.
He was playing with Tom Petty. He was playing with Tom Petty, and he was still playing like he was in Nirvana. And I remember it bugged the fucking shit out of me. Let me get a little nerdy on drumming. Because it wasn't just that he was playing loud as fuck. He did a little bit of that. He did a little bit of that. But he took his hi-hat. And some drummers do this. I don't love it. Now, I don't like a low hi-hat. Because a lot of times when you have a low hi-hat, you like unless you have real good control over it, you end up hitting the snare with, you end up hitting that stick a bunch and it's not enjoyable. It's not a good time. Right. But at the same time, so I would always put my hi-hat medium height. But at the same time, dudes who would put their hi-hat like stupid high, you're just doing it for attention because it's not going to sound good. And especially if you're drumming for fucking Tom Petty, it's only going to make the snare. It's only going to make the hi-hat louder. Nothing in a Tom Petty song needs the hi-hat louder. And from a just an economic standpoint, you're going to destroy your drumsticks because you're just hitting the side of a cymbal. And I remember just seeing him having his hi-hat super high to play a Tom Petty song. I was like, oh, this guy, he's doesn't know what he's doing, or he's just not taking this seriously at all.
Yeah. Have you ever seen the video? There's like a band at Knoebels. Shout out to Knoebels.
Shout out to Knoebels. Did you?
What?
How have you ever gone there?
I haven't gone. I've gone there once, but not to see a band. This is not about my personal experience, but I saw it just so happened to be a band that was doing a ZZ Top cover at Knoebels. And the drummer is like, he is doing exactly what you're talking about, but it's so passive aggressive. And it's like, it's part of the show, definitely. Like, it's his shtick, but they're playing like Sharp Dressed Man or some shit. But he's just going like these huge motions and he's like flipping the sticks. And he's like, but he is playing, like, he is not I don't think he's overdoing it on the drum. He is somehow sounding completely like composed. He's actually playing along with a song, but he is definitely drawing attention to himself. But I think it's part of the show. I don't think he's, this guy.
I think we can give a little volume to it.
Yeah. This is is him.
Make a good point too if you listen to it.
Huh?
If you listen, it's not too loud.
But yeah, but whoever's filming this is like, oh, this is my guy.
Just a fucking dickhead.
You see what, like when you brought that up, I was like, this is the first guy that came to mind.
Dude, I already have enough problem.
Oh yeah, look at that face. He's just like, fuck.
No, dude, I'm gonna do something real quick. I'm gonna type in drum cover and I'm gonna play the first thing that comes to mind, or the first thing that pops up, because this is my biggest fucking problem with drum cover videos. The first dude that popped up is this guy, but this guy's allowed to be a hot dog. This guy's allowed to be a hot dog. You've seen this dude.
Oh yeah, this guy rules.
This guy's crazy.
Also, I really, really love his setup. Like, it's like kind of like
like super minimalistic.
Yeah. And it's like, but it sounds good too. Like, I don't think you can probably play this, but
I didn't want to play. He's covering a song, but okay. So
he's a good looking dude.
Fun to look at. Oh, but I was proven a little bit wrong. I'm a dirty piece of shit liar. But a lot of these drummers, you log on and you go and watch their shit, and it's just, you watch it and you go, stop flipping the sticks.
Yeah.
Just stop twirling the fucking sticks. Just play the goddamn song.
Also, because like my biggest thing is it's the exact same emotion I get when I'm watching a fighter. And this is because I got fucking PTSD from Anderson Silva. Thanks a lot, Anderson Silva. And it's not the thing you're thinking of either. I just pictured me trying to fight Anderson Silva. But
how long would you last? Obviously not that long.
Now, like his age now, me now, him.
And
like,
and be honest, because even if you say 10 seconds, I'll be proud of you.
Yeah, honestly, I would say I think I would last long. I may last maybe 15 seconds because part of it would be me running away from him and
No. That's the. It would take him 15 seconds to catch up to you going.
Hold me down.
No. Like from the second. Because, it doesn't – if you're just, like, keep backing up, that doesn't count. From the second one of you touches the other.
Yeah.
How quick – and you're trying 110%. How quick does he beat you?
Is it striking or grappling? Seriously. And that's a serious question, Andy. I don't know why I just asked that. It doesn't, dude. It's like it's as long as he wants it. You have to ask him. I can't answer that question.
Like, he's my father. Basically be like, do you want to get knocked out in 2 seconds or do you want to tap in 2 seconds?
Whatever he wants in whatever amount of time he wants. You ask if him, it was, I can't answer that.
It's up to him, really. Yeah. He'd be able to answer the question.
but he was somebody who I love to watch because he would always like toy with his speed. Like he would put his arms down. He would like showboat. He would like go like, come on, you know, like do that shit. Like, cause he was a counter striker a lot of times. So he needed to goat people in to come at him. And it fucking backfired on him. And he lost the championship to Chris Weidman and never really recovered from that.
Like, that sucks.
But he was always my favorite to watch. But that's my thing, man, is if you're flipping the sticks, like what happens when you drop it? You know what I mean? But usually they're skilled enough drummers that even if they're hot dogging it and they drop a stick, they can still keep the tempo or anything like that. But it's also like, are we boring you, dude? Can we just play a song together? Is this You have something else to do? What? Why?
You know
why
what? That reminds me of two things. Don't let me forget about the rising, the drum riser where it goes like upside down. But it that reminds me of that. And then I remember I went to go see Green Day in high school when they were doing American Idiot. I went to go see them. Great show. Really fun fucking time. They are a very good live band. They know how to like keep the crowd engaged and all that shit. Very good live band. But I started to note Trey Cool was on this riser, and I started to notice, I think he gets bored up there because he would just do this thing where he'd be playing and then you'd see him launch a stick up into the air. just launch a stick. And then, I saw him do it so many times. He has to have like 50 sticks on the stage with him because he would just be throwing sticks, just for no reason.
That would be really funny. There's something really freeing about like just doing something like throwing a full water bottle with the cap off into a crowd. Because you know,
that'd be funnier. Cap on.
Oh, cap on is crazy. Cap on is nuts. Be like, cap on and spike it in the first row.
you get them real vulnerable because you're like, who's hot? And the he's like, what? Open that up yourself, pussy.
I don't want to. Yeah, you know, COVID. But I there's something really satisfying about throwing like or. Crowds start leaping into a crowd of people, any of that stuff. There's a very surreal freeing kind of feeling to that. So I get that. So, but also I think also there's a lot of joy in, much like throwing a water bottle into a crowd, injuring a crowd, an audience member, and then them going like, oh, cool. Ow. Hey. Or like, it like landing on their eye and then somebody else going to grab it and like jamming it further into their eye. And they're actually like probably some sick plan.
You just reminded me, I have to show you possibly the greatest thing ever. You were saying about, crowd surfing or jumping into the crowd or doing things into the crowd.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you seen this? You don't know what it is. How could you answer that question?
I was going to say it might be, I think it's what I'm thinking of. Yep. I think
a listener sent this to me today.
Oh, good.
Bro, look at that. It's so perfect. And I don't know if he knows if that's coming or not. For the listeners, basically,
that was caught too. Somebody got that.
Yeah. It's like such a lucky fucking shot. For the people just listening, there's a dude on stage, and this is honestly, this is like the perfect, it's just the perfect, like, yo, don't stand on the stage for too long, bro. So the guy's standing on the stage, and just this guy hits him with quite possibly the cleanest RKO I've ever seen outside of a WWE ring.
And also it looks to be, doesn't actually injure him, but definitely teaches him a lesson. Like he could have slammed his head onto someone, his jaw onto someone's head, on top of someone's head, and fucked his face up, but didn't.
Dude,
so good.
I can't get over how beautiful it is.
That was perfect. And like I said, the fact that that was timed perfect, that was like watching like most ghost videos I watch. We're like, did you see that? Like, yeah, I just fucking saw that shit.
I'm trying to see if there's other angles.
No,
what
way.
Were you gonna say?
There can be no.
Every fucking show has 90 cameras at it.
Yeah, but do you think everybody caught realized that was an RKO?
Well, no, they could have just been recording it.
Who was that, by the way? What band?
It was Drain.
Oh, nice.
Which I'm going to see them in August. I have an extra ticket if you want to come. No pressure.
I would love to come see Drain. When in August? My birthday's in August. That can be
I got to double check. Actually, I just got booked on a weekend. I have to double check.
Wow. Okay. So, all right. So I guess we're not going to go. All right.
I don't know. I forget the date.
Why even bring it up?
I'm
Let's not do this here. Let's not do this here. Let's not do this here.
What, you think you're the big man? Just saying, let's not do this here. You want? Oh, I'm gonna pat. I'm gonna act like the big man.
Do it over there.
Hell yeah. No, I just got to double check because if I am going, if
I can be booked too. So
doing shows, you're probably not though. I'm probably I'm more booked.
But I might be the most booked. So
no, like I'm way more booked up on that day.
Can I ask you a question?
What's up, buddy?
How do you feel about bands, new bands that maybe it's a direct tribute or maybe a ripoff, but sound much like older bands like Led Zeppelin or classic rock bands like that?
Because are you talking about like how that Greta Van Fleet sounds exactly like Led Zeppelin? Have you ever listened to them?
Yeah, Greta Van Fleet is a good example of that. I think Wolf Mother is kind of another one.
I'm trying to think. So here's my thing. It's like I don't get I don't like feel any type of way because I'm thinking about Greta Van Fleet because I listened to them and I was like, they're pretty good, but I'm like, I already have Led Zeppelin. I don't, know what I mean? And Led Zeppelin does it better than this. I'm not like, cause a lot of people I think in those scenarios get like real fucking tight about it. I just go, oh, this doesn't, but you know, what's funny is like, remember we talked about on last week's show or the last episode where our schedule is a little off. We will get it straightened out for next time, guys. We apologize. But, no, I talked about it. We talked about it on the last episode, like August Burns Red and Texas in July sound exactly the same. But I got to be honest, I'm going to listen to both bands the same amount I've always listened to them. Right. Do you have any shit? I can't think of any bands. Do you have any good examples of this kind of shit?
So actually, I have not only a good example of it, but actually two good bands, like two bands that I think do it right. So. Okay. So as of late, I've been listening to a band called Graveyard, and Graveyard is in a lot of their songs almost sounds just kind of like a good indie rock band or something like that with classic influence. Excuse me. Jesus. But with like classical influence, like classic and like a classic rock influence. Sorry.
Yeah.
But they also there's
did you
like
bring up Gravedigger before?
No, not Gravedigger. Graveyard is the name of the band.
Oh, okay. Do you want to go see Gravedigger?
Yeah.
Do you want to just do you want to go to Monster Trucks?
Yeah, dude. Have you been to Monster Trucks before?
So here's the thing. I have, but like remembering back on it, my dad he always did his best. But do you? he just you know sometimes he just. He just fucking hit a foul ball. You know what I mean? He connected, but he hit a foul ball. No, I actually had a fucking blast. We went to go see this monster truck thing, but it was literally in this place. You wouldn't really, I don't know if you'd know about it, only being in PA for what, like, was it like 8 years now?
Yeah, like that. Yeah, something 7-8 years. Yeah.
But you ever hear of Stabler Arena?
No.
It's like, it's the kind of place you'd go see, like, I don't know, arena football or a moderately sized band. Like I saw Weird Al there, you know, Weird Al's not a small show, but he's not packing the, like, you know, filling fucking Madison Square Garden, that type of thing. And we saw a fucking, like, technically speaking, a monster truck show there. But and I remember at the time being a little kid, like they had mini bike races. They had a bunch of stuff with different type of vehicles. So as a kid, I remember being like, this fucking rules. Yeah. Yes. But now growing up, I remember I was like, why did they bring a monster truck in there? Because literally it was the place was big enough to have a monster truck hit a ramp and then land and then stop. Yeah. Like
that wasn't like a course. Yeah, yeah.
They had enough room for a ramp in there. But I digress. I would actually
go in Tampa. If we go to Monster Trucks, we'll go in Tampa. We got to go there.
I would fuck up a Monster Truck rally with you.
Yeah, we should do that. We got to go in a southern state, my friend, because I don't think you Yankees know how to do it. But graveyard.
Or I feel like, you know, show some respect to Pennsylvania. I feel like Jim Bob and Jimmy Joe out there could fuck up a monster truck rally.
No, I would work regularly at a drag race track where there is a rocket car that we would stand probably 15 feet from, which is crazy. Like, I don't know how
it's like those videos rocket. when those dudes are doing fucking burnouts and they just take out a whole Hispanic family with their fucking Nissan.
That was the end of the day. Like, if you clean the grease traps fast enough, you could make it to go see the rocket car and it did exactly what you said
and then die
and it just went right past you and it hit the end of the track and then that's it. That's the end of the night. Goodbye. So it was but I would definitely go to Monster Trucks with you in a heartbeat.
Graveyard. I said
graveyard. Yeah, that's why
I said Gravedigger.
I knew it was going to be easy to remember to get back to. But Graveyard is a band that's much like Grand of Van Fleet or what was the other one I said? Wolf Mother or any of that shit. What's the other one? Jet. I think Jet was another one that kind of was it Jet?
So Jet. I mean, Jet to me didn't sound like any specific band. They just sounded like Target was like, hey, can you guys be the 70s for us real quick? You know what I mean? They just sound like a Target commercial wrote a generic 70s song.
But then it was used. Then they used it in that Target commercial.
That was when the iPod commercials were fucking hitting.
Yeah. It was a bop at the time, but I feel like they were also like it kind of just redoes itself over and over again.
Yeah. Well,
my point with Graveyard is they were doing it like in 2007. That's when they kind of had their Wolf Mother-y kind of bullshit years. Since then, I've kind of like caught up on some of their recent stuff, and it's also still good. I don't hate that shit. I don't hate Wolf Mother or any of that. I don't think there's a ton of substance in it, and I do kind of feel like I kind of see, and this was my point of bringing this up in general, was there's a couple bands recently that I've heard that are doing it right, where they remind you of those bands.
Yeah.
They kind of remind me of like classic rock bands, but they have their own sound and definitely in their later stuff found their own sound. Another good example of this, besides Graveyard, I would highly suggest them as well, is White Reaper. White Reaper is another band that reminds me there is one song that they have that I feel like is a top 10 song. Like, it is fucking awesome. It's a perfect song, and it's called Judy French. But their overall sound is, it's almost like if Cheap Trick came out now.
Okay.
That's what it feels like. And that's what I feel like a lot of these bands are kind of trying to do, is what if Led Zeppelin were to start now? Or what if Led Zeppelin they're influenced obviously by Led Zeppelin, but what happened? What would if they were still writing new music that was good? Or you know what I mean?
Do you think it's that much? Do you think it's like that much thought goes into it?
I don't know. Because the thing is, it's brought up to I think a lot of these bands, and I don't know. I haven't seen. You know what I mean? Like I don't know if they are willing to admit. Like, yeah, we're just basically really, really influenced by Led Zeppelin. I think they kind of get it. Insulted by it.
I wish more bands admitted to stuff like that. Like, it's endearing. Like I was watching this interview with what's his name? I think his name's Brendan, the lead singer of Counterparts.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget what band he was referencing. But he was like, yeah, dude, we're just a such and such ripoff band. Like, he was half kidding, but like, that's the reality of the situation is most bands when they first start, especially if you start when you're younger, you just go, what do I know? And you try to do that. That's how the Wonder Years started. The Wonder Years started they were trying to write funny songs that sounded like Newfound Glory.
Yeah.
And then they eventually were like, oh, we like doing this a lot. Let's take this a little bit. And then, because if you see the Wonder Years, there's a... there's like a conscious shift in the seriousness of their music. So here, wait, the Wonder Years. Because It's kind of funny if you look at their discography. Mm-hmm. Let me pull it up real quick. I apologize, everyone. Thank you so much for hanging out and listening and imagining what I look like naked. I appreciate it. But yeah, okay, here we go. But if you look up the Wonder Years discography, we have it right here. So if you see right here, there's Get Stoked on it. Oh, they don't even fucking have it here.
Wow.
Oh, wait. Or is it in... oh, no. Yeah. That's right. Get Stoked on it was their first. And look, the album cover is literally like Captain Crunch making out with the Kool-Aid Man's wife. Mm-hmm. And you have songs like Keystone State, Dude Core, About to Get Fruit Punched, Buzz Aldrin, the poster boy for second place, Let's Mosh It, like super fucking silly. And then now, if you look at the Wonder Years now, they have songs like Will My Son Love Me When He's an Adult? You know what I mean? Like shit, like super serious shit like that. But the funniest part is, so they don't completely get rid of the songs, but yeah, here it is. But if you want to listen to the old shit, they're like, okay, you can have it. We're going to present it in our way. And the album is called, Sleeping in Trash, a collections of song recorded 2005 to 2010. They're like, you're going to experience it through our fucking pretentious We Write Poetry way.
Yeah,
shit. Geez. Which I'm being funny. I love the Wonder Years, but yeah, I literally was at the show. I went to go see them at the Starland Ballroom, and they were playing an old song off of an EP from the Get Stoked on It time. I forget what the fucking song was called. But yeah, they were playing an old song, and they literally, this is how much like pre the Upsides, that's their like first Being Serious album. This is how much they're like, we just want to sort of politely disavow the pre Upsides era. Is that I was at the show where they literally go, this is the last time we're ever going to play this song live.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah,
were they just doing that on that tour?
What?
Do you think that really was the last time, or do you think they were just doing it like on that tour? They were like letting everybody know, hey.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to, you have no fun. And also too, like all bands have a strong history of making declarative statements that they never stick to. So yeah. I'm sure they've played. I just like, so to bring it back to Brendan of Counterparts, I just always appreciate when bands are real like that. And it's like, yeah, it's, and also too, on top of that, I hate when bands sort of pretend like the early stage didn't happen. Yeah. And it's like, yo, I like this current version. Like we talked about it with John.
Yeah.
Yeah. We talked about it with John on the one episode forever ago, but like, I love their newest album. I like the Serious Wonder Years generation, but also I got into you guys on the first shit, and a lot of us got into you guys on the old shit. Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. And I'm not trying to be over dramatic about this, but there is this sort of thing when, you know, you have this album that I remember listening to the shit out of it in fucking college and loving the hell out of it. And it really like, it opened me up to that new era of pop punk. And then the band, you know, and I'm not telling them how to feel, but then when you see the band go, yeah, we don't fucking like that or whatever the fuck. Well, actually, let me clarify, because there is a great video of Keith and Jordan from Every Time I Die, basically being like, yeah, all the albums before this one fucking suck, but they're being kind of like self-deprecating about it.
They're more bringing up the fact that like, that's on us. Like that's like, we're making better music now. It's not, they're not saying we're not going to play this music anymore or you're stupid for liking it.
It was the way the Wonder Years went about it. They went about it in such like a serious, dramatic way that it felt like a minor, you're fucking dumb if you still like this.
You know what it is? It's the fact that they were comfortable doing that and they felt cool doing that. That was a cool thing to do. But then now they see so many bands that are doing these album 25th anniversary or 25th anniversary, you know, 20th anniversary, whatever album tours, and they're selling out and they're selling a ton of merch and they're doing all this shit. Like, it's almost like they're getting a second chance to, like, you know, a lot of bands back in the day probably were like, oh, I'm upset because the, you know, if we did get a record deal, we got a fucked up record deal where they get all the thing. We didn't get any money for this. We didn't do it. You know, like that you get another chance to take those hits that you have or do something like we talked about Thrice did, re-record it, or even, you know, what T-Swift, re-record your hit albums and then re-release them, then do a tour where you just play you exclusively play the old shit. And everybody will give you their money. And this is the best way I've heard it explained, is the bands that have been your fans this whole time have money now. When they used to see you back then, they were young. They didn't have money to buy.
They were saying.
Sorry, you were breaking up there.
Something happened.
Yeah.
We just had a weird point. Yeah, okay. I think we just had a weird connection thing. No, you reminded, as you were talking, you made me think of another great point where, like, a lot of these, so when times are good, you know, because when the Wonder Years popped off, that type of pop punk, where it was kind of a little like that Midwest emo kind of serious pop punk, that was like popping off. And the same thing you see with a lot of these bands, probably a good example would be like Newfound Glory or Yellow Card or whatever. Mm-hmm. Now, Newfound Glory, they didn't disavow their old shit. I think they were all vibes the whole time. But I bet you there were these bands that while things were good, while the money was rolling in, you know, they could afford to be a little pretentious about their old stuff.
Right.
And now you see long term. Now you see long
dance monkey.
now you see long term, you're like, shit. You're telling me early 2000s pop punk isn't going to be the biggest genre forever? Now when the 10, 15, 20 year anniversaries start rolling around, they start being way more in favor of playing the new music. Now, I don't know if the Wonder Years is like this, because I think they sort of shifted in a new version of consistent that I think they have a really hardcore fan base. So I think they've been fine, but there are definitely bands that it just coincides with like the constant we're breaking up. Oh, look, another tour. And it's like,
Yeah.
So you were saying the topic about bands that like newer bands that sound like a ripoff of older bands. You reminded me, I brought up Newfound Glory. I was thinking about them as we were talking about the topic. They actually did the inverse.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I remember this. And I remember it was like kind of annoying me because so there was a time, basically, there was like the progression of pop punk where it would be bands like around the Take Off Your Pants and Jacket era of Blink, and then All Killer, No Filler, Sum 41, and then what was it called? Oh yeah, Sticks and Stones with Newfound Glory, like that type of like way more cheery pop punk. They were part of the groups that were sort of spearheading the sound of the genre and shit. And then more bands came along, and now all these bands, they love pop punk, but they also love emo, and some of them start to love hardcore. And so you start hearing these bands like Set Your Goal. I listened to a bunch of them. I can't remember half their fucking names at this point, but you'd have bands like Set Your Goals, who would incorporate like hardcore energy to it. There was a band called Vera that would do it. 4 Years Strong did it on their first album, and then they sort of drifted away from that. But and then a Day to Remember you could kind of throw into that mix, where they were pop punk type bands. But the way their songs were structured were very akin to hardcore or metal music. And so that was the thing for a minute. And I actually noticed in Newfound Glory's music, they did this weird thing where they inspired a bunch of bands. Those bands shifted the sound. Newfound Glory was starting to be less relevant. So they actually shifted their sound to sound like the bands that they were inspiring. It turned into this like very weird meta where it was like, no, like just keep doing. Now, this is probably easier for me to say because Newfound Glory was probably looking at their checks getting smaller and being like, we got to fucking do something. And I'm sitting here like, no, just write Sticks and Stones and Catalyst over and over again. But no, it was just it turned into this very weird meta where it's like you're trying to sound like all the bands you inspired. It's very, very interesting to me.
Yeah, I think that is, I think that's a cool cycle though. Like that's, if at least try it. If you're
Fair enough.
If you're, because that's the thing. There's experimenting and then there's growing. And if you're at least, you know, it's kind of like a compliment again, or you're going to end up being a band that's rewrite the songs or albums that people want them to, or like, they're like, those are the ones we like, rewrite those. And that's kind of, I think that's how you end up like bands like Pennywise or something like that, where they just end up kind of starting to write, trying to write like them instead of just writing like them and just, right. I mean, look, dude, I would rather, this is the thing. I would rather Pennywise to release a fucking country album next than another one about with a fucking flag upside down. They're going like, hey, motherfuckers, we're going to take the government back or what? Like, what are you talking about? No, you're not. No, you're not.
That's what. At this point, I don't believe you.
I don't believe you. And I don't. And that's ultimately what it comes down to, is I don't believe the bands. If Newfound Glory is putting out songs that still sound good, that are indirectly inspired by themselves, it's kind of finding a good loophole, like you said, in that system of, instead of just being like, oh, now we're writing, and this is going back to our previous conversation about like going back to that, it's kind of cool, like, that you can show, you can again not reinvent the wheel, you can write the same type of music, you can write new Newfound Glory songs or new Pennywise songs, but don't try to write like your old self, because otherwise it's just, it's gonna show and it's gonna suck.
Yeah. No, it will show when you're Pennywise going, what would a Pennywise song? You're like, just write a song. This is why I'm a huge proponent of fucking, side bands.
Yeah. I'm gonna write a word up here. Okay. Authority. How do we feel about this? Let's go. Let's brainstorm.
Yes.
No.
Fuck.
Yeah. That's right. Now we're
what do you want to do to authority?
Well, I don't want to exceed. I guess I would want to fuck it up. Shorten that. I like it. Shorten it.
The fuck was I gonna say? Sorry, yeah, dude. Yeah. It's well, that's why I like side projects, because I feel because I think it's important. Like I don't want to like limit that, because I don't want to limit these musicians artistically, but at the same time, I got to be honest. Like, if I've been listening to a band for a while, obviously I want you to evolve your sound, but it was like, now you still listen to Thrice, right?
Yeah.
But like, for me, they're a perfect example. When you're, you know, when you're like a fast punkish emo band who does like metal riffs, and then you just randomly put out like a slow indie album.
Well, so this is my actual argument to the side project. I think a side project is exactly how you can, it's almost like inviting a proverbial Yoko into your band, because it's kind of like, especially if that side project becomes popular or good. And I think that's exactly what happened to Thrice. Dustin Kensrue's solo project was pretty good. It's really good, actually. I liked it a lot. Like almost every, it's a little too Christian-y, but it was very well done.
I don't know, dude. When it comes to metalcore, I want it to get real Christian-y. That's some top-notch metalcore.
But it's the kind of, like, you know, when the kind of Christian-y where they just kind of replaced, like South Park talked about, where they just replaced baby with, like, it's kind of like that, like, where you fill me up. And it's like, all right. You know, but it's very well done. And
Pat, you don't want God to clap some cheeks?
I would rather not. I'd like to stay a virgin if possible.
Dude, yeah, fucking cream pie me with the Holy Ghost.
Don't fill me up. Okay. Leave me empty and barren. But I think that is what ultimately,
because, and if you fill me up, I'll abort it. You don't want that, God.
and the next album. Oh, what do you know? There's a couple acoustic tunes on there. Where do those come from? And it's like, well, that's just the direction the band's going. Okay. And then they start going into the Elements EP, which I love. And what is the Air one? Well, it's a lot of acoustic guitar and folksy stuff for the Earth. And it's like, okay, so you want to be a country star. That's fine. But leave it in the side project, and it never gets left in the side project, because if they get artistically fulfilled by the side project and less than the band, but they're still doing both of them, it's gonna affect the band poorly. Not always poorly. I speak only of this one situation, it not working perfectly. I like both, but when they got melded, I think that's why they put out this weird fucking indie shit that you're like, what is this garbage? Could you fucking rip already?
Yeah. So I want to
guitar pedal on this goddamn guitar and fucking hit it.
So I want to wrap up in a second, but that is a good
I don't either,
Pat, but I got to fucking put food in my tummy and then go nap. Go Betty bye. But damn, you got Wendy's? Wendy's fucks me up.
Yeah, I fuck Wendy's up, so.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I think I might be eating a little bit better because fast food has been fucking clapping my cheeks a lot more. What was I going to say? Oh, I want to end this immediately. I can't think of one right now. Are there side projects that got bigger than the main band? I guess over time you forget, because then the side project becomes the main band. Foo Fighters isn't bigger than Nirvana has been inactive for a while.
Yeah,
I
don't know. Foo Fighters was and is playing arenas, so like football stadiums.
Football stadiums?
I'm pretty sure they're playing a lot of things in the round. There's a lot of large stages that Dave Grohl's been falling off. So, I mean,
oh yeah.
Have you seen him playing with the new guy?
You know who the new guy is?
He was from Dillinger, right?
No, he's from everything.
Yeah, he's like a super technical drum. Like he is strictly a hired gun. Like he is not getting the same cut as everybody else. He is.
No, he's actually probably getting a shit ton of money. Cause I'm looking him up. No, cause
But yeah, I think that's the only side project I can think of that might have been gotten bigger, but I don't know if technically that would count as a side project. I think he did record that while he was still in Nirvana, or Nirvana was on hiatus. I can't remember exactly. I'll look that up while you look the other thing up, and we'll just sit here in silence. Hold on.
No, I'm trying to. So, the drummer's name is Josh Freese.
Uh-huh.
And he's been in a million and one bands.
1994, formed in Seattle, Washington, D.C. Founded by Nirvana drummer Dave Grohl as a one-man project following the dissolution. The fuck does that mean? I guess because they dissolved. It's a nice way to say when that guy suicided himself. So sorry, I apologize. So he's been in a shit ton of bands. But what was that? I feel like the most recent one was the one where I was like, damn. Does it say?
What?
Does it say a list of the bands?
Andy,
you're really being cagey about the bands that he was in. I think.
Well, I'm trying to get like a.
Shanana. He
I'm
was
trying
in.
To get a good. I'm trying to get a good list of it, but no,
he was in the Beatles.
Well, no, I'm trying to get a good list because he's been. Because he was like, dude, he was literally in the band. He's like in the Vandals. He was in the Vandals. He was in a Perfect Circle. He played in Nine Inch Nails for a little bit. It says like Paramore and Blink 182, and I'm sure he's filled in live on some of those shows and stuff. Like he's been in a million and one fucking bands. I don't know why I brought this up. We gotta wrap this up. All right. This has been a good ass episode. We kind of petered out towards the end. I'll take the blame. Fucking bad.
You got a carbo load.
Yeah, dude, I worked out and I got no food in my tummy.
We don't normally go this late. Let us know in the comments or whenever you want, anywhere you want. If you'd like to join us in the stream, when would you like to join us in the stream? Sometimes we do it Sunday and Saturday afternoons or early mornings, or not early mornings, early afternoons. Sorry, 11 a.m. or so.
I'm not letting them dictate the time. They're gonna watch it when it's convenient for us.
And you guys want to pound off in the comments? Talk to us about how cool Dave Grohl is.
No. I was just, the new platform was throwing me off, so I was self-conscious the entire show. I didn't have 1 second of joy while doing this, but I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad I'm here.
All right, let's get the heck out of here. All right, guys, thanks for watching. We will be doing this more regularly. We can't do this weekend, but actually, for real, the regular time will probably be Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
I think that's been working the best for us. So we're just going to stream live when we do this. So look out for us Sunday mornings. And then
we're a lot better during the morning time.
Oh, dude, I am so better with not a lot of not like go to the gym, get fucking jacked up on caffeine and talk to Pat about music we've seen at the Vans Warped Tour.
Yeah, that's exclusively what this show is supposed to be. And we're going to get back into that model, and you're going to you're gonna stream with us whenever we fucking say, right, Andy? Yeah, that's what we say.
We make the fucking rules.
We'll be better next time.
But seriously, comment down below with whatever you want to fucking. Yeah, man. Hey. We'll do whatever you want. Anyway, all right. We really should end this. All right. Love you guys. Be about it. Peace.
Don't worry, it's not loaded.